The West Live.
The West Live.
Brought to you by the State School Teachers Union campaign to fix WA's teacher shortage.
Premier Mark McGowan announced his vision for reopening WA to the world yesterday, hours after an anti-vaxxer crashed her car into a pole outside his Rockingham home. And today we hear a group of Liberal Party members is mounting a new campaign to axe Klan head honchos Peter Collier and Nick Gorin. So yeah, there's a lot of state politics to unpack. Lucky we've got the West Australian state politics editor Peter Law to help us do it. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Ben.
Let's start with that incident at the Premier's house yesterday. There was a lot of uncertainty initially around the incident. What do we know now?
Yeah, I think it was Tuesday night it happened, about 8 o'clock. Our evening reporter, my colleague Michael Trail, heard reports of an accident, car accident outside the Premier's house. By all accounts, police were fairly frantic in the location. But the circumstances were what was unclear. All we knew was that a car had gone into a pole near the Premier's house. By the next day, we were starting to hear reports. Actually, maybe it was suspicious. Maybe this was linked to the vaccine mandate. Was the driver an anti-vaxxer? Police would only say that I think she's been charged with drink driving, but didn't reveal any more about the circumstances. Then the Premier, at a CEDA event at Crown yesterday, during a Q&A session, he was asked about anti-vaxxers, and he let the cat out of the bag by saying that somebody had driven a car into a pole and they were an anti-vaxxer, and he described the act as beyond the pale. So then we all knew what had happened.
Yeah, wow. And it comes after a couple of blokes are charged with sending threatening messages to him as well. It's getting a bit out of control. And the anti-vaxxers were out in force at Parliament yesterday as the vaccine mandate came into effect. What do you know about the mood at Parliament yesterday?
Well, I'm glad I'm not Jeff Parry when these protests are going. Thankfully, I can just take my lanyard off, and being a print journalist, I'm not particularly recognisable. Before old Jeff, he just absolutely cops it. So, you know, there's obviously a bunch of journalists out on the front steps covering a protest, as we do on any issue. The difference of this one is that the scorn is just as much at journalists as it is at the government. And so there was a lot of abuse being hurled at Jeff, but luckily he's got thick skin.
Yeah, he does indeed. It's quite ridiculous hearing them yell, "Do your research," and thinking the media is somehow complicit. It's you have to laugh if there wasn't such a serious element to it as well. You mentioned the event that the Premier was speaking at yesterday. Now, we know that vaccine has always been the road out of the pandemic, and yesterday the Premier outlined what that road might look like. Can you take us through what commitments he gave yesterday to help WA rejoin the rest of the world?
Yeah, well, this was the plan to... this is kind of the sorry tour from WA. After 2 years of telling everyone to stay the hell away, we're now laying out the welcome mat, apparently. When it was announced that there was going to be a big announcement by the Premier at this CEDA event, there was a few expectations that it might be the long-awaited date for reopening, because let's be honest, that's the thing that actually matters. But no, this was more of a context about what the state is going to do when that date is set. What we know is about $165 million. We spent over 18 months on basically a PR branding exercise to market WA as the safest jurisdiction in the world, very much aimed at international tourists, international students and skilled foreign migrants. It's going to see the re-establishment of pre-COVID flight routes that obviously all ground to a halt about 2 years ago, and an attempt to secure new ones with places like Germany, India and Vietnam. As well as the routes, we know there's going to be a flashy advertising campaign to try and sell WA to our Asian neighbours. But let's be honest, I think all they're waiting for when deciding where to live next year is, when are you actually going to let us in?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, you know, do you think it'll work? Because we've developed a reputation for being a bit of a hermit kingdom, and any kind of marketing campaign, it'd be like trying to encourage people to go to North Korea. You can get in, but you can't get out.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the focus very much from the Premier yesterday was on overseas rather than the eastern states. And I think that reputation as the hermit kingdom, what WA as a hermit kingdom, really is held by our cousins over in the eastern states. Whether our Asian neighbours feel the same way is unclear. They probably consider the whole of Australia, which obviously shut off its international borders and continues to do so to foreigners, as a hermit kingdom. But it kind of the way the Premier was framing it was that we're in a competition with other states to capitalise on Australia's reputation as being safe as we reconnect with the world, and we're the safest. So surely they'll want to come to us. But honestly, I think while people are trying to make life decisions about what they want to do in 2022, and if they're looking at Australia, they know they can get into New South Wales or Victoria or Queensland or South Australia by Christmas. They still don't know when they're going to get into WA, and I imagine that's the biggest barrier right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea of it being the safest place, as long as you don't hop in the ocean, you maybe get nibbled by a shark.
or need to go to hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Couple of crosses there on the old resume. And now let's talk about Peter Collier and Nick Gorin. They've been embattled MPs after being embroiled in the Clan WhatsApp scandal. So far, they've resisted calls to leave. Who's behind this latest push to give them the boot?
Yeah, well, there's been a few calls for them to leave this week. It's all gaining a bit of momentum after complete inaction from the Liberal Party on our revelations about the involvement of this pair in the Clan as factional power brokers. Earlier this week, a second kind of grassroots branch, this time Melville Adderdale, passed a resolution to refer Nick Gorin to what's called the Appeals and Disciplinary Committee. Basically, there'll be hearings held and Nick Gorin will be called to give evidence. And ultimately, if this committee finds that he's brought the party into disrepute, he could be sanctioned or even expelled. Now, on top of that, last night, there's a new group calling themselves the Liberal Reform Coalition. Basically, a group of like-minded Liberal members and supporters who've had enough of the state of the party to boot out the factional power brokers like Nick Gorin and Peter Collier, and they want to do that through reform. They passed a resolution calling on these two to immediately resign. It carries no weight because it wasn't actually a formal meeting of the party in any capacity, but it does carry weight in terms of the pressure it heaps on them, because the people who are there are real heavy hitters. So we're talking former party leader Bill Hassell, we're talking former Premier Richard Court, former Federal Minister David Johnston, former State President Norman Moore. So if the likes of these people continue to apply public pressure, then it will certainly keep the story in the headlines right throughout the federal election. Whether it actually leads to either Collier or Gorin quitting, they certainly haven't yet.
Yeah, and it's hard to see what circumstances would have to arise for them to do so. They seem pretty entrenched, even if it's at the cost of their own party. The West Australian State Politics Editor, Peter Law, it's always great to have you on the show, mate. We'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Ben.